Tommy, listeners, it's the holiday season. It's Christmas time. I'd like to reflect back on this wonderful year that we've had on Haven't Seen It. We've covered a lot of great movies. We've had a lot of terrific guests. And that's why Tommy and I warmly invite you to a sex pervert Christmas as we cover Eyes Wide Shut here on Haven't Seen It. Haven't Seen It with Tim Sestito and Tommy Tevenet. Hello, everybody. Welcome on in. Thank you all so much for listening today. This is a podcast where one of us is watching a movie for the very first time. And today, that's all of us, including our guest upstairs, Steve. This is the first time we brought him on to watch a movie. Stanley Kubrick's final film.
Watch movies never seen before. He's seen movies before, obviously. That's fine.
That's why I'm gracing you with your presence, with my presence.
There's sometimes a movie you love, you're like, I've seen it before. I'll need to fucking watch it before we start recording.
I usually do just for the sake of keeping it authentic here, but really, my main question is, what made you guys immediately think of me when you thought, hey, let's have a guest on Eyes Wide Shut? It's a little sus. I don't know. I don't know what you're trying to get at here.
I'm like, hey, upstairs, Steve, I think you can appreciate this right now.
My valuable insights here on the world of sex cults.
Okay. Exactly. Sure.
Tommy texted me and was just like, we're just going to, out of the blue, it was just like, we're going to have upstairs Steve on Eyes Wide Shut. And I was like, okay. I'll never complain about that.
I figured it'd be hilarious to have you on this episode.
And then I was also thinking when you made the joke about me saying oh, this is Steve's first movie you've ever watched. Imagine somebody came up to you and was like, I've never seen a movie before. Like, where should I start? And then you recommend Eyes Wide Shut. That's just somebody's first movie they've ever seen.
It's like, yeah, just pay attention to this 3 hours. They're all 3 hours, and it's an erotic, sex thriller mystery. You're thinking about those little titties.
That just ruined movies for them. They'd be like, are they all like this?
Yeah, you're like, what am I doing here?
See, I wouldn't call
it Lion King. They're like, where are the boobies? What is this?
So you guys would call this a sex thriller? Because I wouldn't classify, I'm maybe erotic somewhere in there, but I wouldn't really call this it's definitely a thriller, but I wouldn't call it a sex thriller, Fatal Attraction.
It's not Basic Instinct or any Paul Verhoeven movie for the most part.
It's adult contemporary.
Yeah. this isn't Disclosure, trash like that, but no, this is a little bit different. And I like that I went in kind of mostly blind. Like, I knew there was about an orgy and that was about it. Tom Cruise being cucked, I think. And
well, what I knew about this going in was that Kubrick at the time wanted to make a movie that was as close to softcore porn as he could with A-list actors, from what I understand. Yeah. And the final cut isn't really exactly what his vision actually was after watching it.
That's the debate, and we will get into
all of that.
If you're not really familiar with Eyes Wide Shut and you haven't gone through and dug around on the internet, there's thousands of theories about this movie. If you're not aware, Stanley Kubrick presented the quote-unquote final cut to Warner Brothers and then died 6 days later. Yeah. And Kubrick was famously meticulous about the films and would change them even after he premiered a movie if he saw something he really didn't like. So him having a movie ready to go in the can for 4 months is a little bit out of what he would normally do here.
This is gonna be our Illuminati special. We're gonna get deep into it. All your conspiracies, we're gonna make sure you know every single one as we dive into Eyes Wide Shut. So get ready for it.
And what you should do is you should go on Twitter, X, Blue Sky, whatever. You should let us know what conspiracy theories we missed. You should let us know if our conspiracy if we're good conspiracy
Bigfoot,
theory
is he
guys.
real? UFOs in New Jersey, where are they?
Can jet fuel melt steel beams? Like
This is what we're finding out here.
let
All
us
the big
know.
questions.
We're gonna cover all the big questions here, all because of a Stanley Kubrick sex pervert movie. Before we dive into that though, and have our sex pervert Christmas
Capade.
special.
It's a sexcapade.
It's a
Like,
sex.
excapade with
I like
sex.
sex. I like sex pervert better. Give me some other movie. It's holiday time. People are watching movies, cuddled up on the couch with a loved one, going over to family to watch a Christmas movie. Anything you guys saw lately? Upstairs, Steve, I'll kick it over to you.
Oh shit. What have I seen recently?
All right, Tommy, go.
Yeah, Tommy, you go.
I'll start off. So, on Sunday, I went to go see a movie and I ended up being the only person in the theater, which is always awesome when that happens. You're like, what are the odds? And unfortunately, it was Y2K, the new Cal Mooney movie, second week of release, A24. And that's just like, I hate to see it moment. It was an okay movie. It's a movie basically where, like, okay, so like it's New Year's Eve 1999, then Y2K actually happens, and it's like kids at like a super badass party. And it's the kid from It, Jaden Martell, who played Bill, Rachel Zegler from Romeo, from West Side Story, and then Julian Denson, the fat kid from the what's the Sam Neill movie we covered that one time?
What you
Where
just mumbled out
the
those words.
Wilder People, wherever.
He just Tommy'd the words. Yeah, I
the
he
Wilder
does that.
People? Are you
Yeah,
talking
Sam
about
Neill.
Taika?
The Hunt for the Wilder People. Yeah,
We
so that
didn't
kid.
cover
So
that on this
basically,
podcast. That was on Film
film
versus
versus
Film.
film. But anyways, this is a movie that, like, it was okay. It was fine. It was just like really fun references, and like of course, like there's a carnage scene at a party, which is really funny. Cal Mooney just like knows how to do like quirky horror comedy in a way. Fun time overall. I mean, Fred Durst makes a cameo appearance, which is amazing. It's all you need in a movie. But after a while, it's just like the references just got a little out of control, where it's like, all right, we need more than just, hey, remember this thing? Remember this thing?
So it's just a nostalgia bait movie. It's basically like the next season of Stranger Things.
Essentially. So, not too great at the box office. I can kind of see why, unfortunately.
Go
So,
to see it now.
maybe.
Sounds like if you got
That
nothing
doesn't
better
sound
to
very convincing.
do, go check out Y2K. All right, upstairs, Steve. What about you? Anything you saw, you've watched recently on the tube?
So I mean, I was torn between Y2K and what was that movie that you recommended me to
Oh,
go
The
see?
Order. Yeah.
Yeah, The Order. So it was between those two, and I looked up Rotten Tomatoes on both, and The Order ultimately won. I thought that was really good, and interesting true story, and that was one of those ones where like it was playing in only like select theaters, so I had to drive like 20 minutes just to see it. So I'm like sitting there in Long Island traffic, I'm like, this better be a fucking good movie, or I'm gonna be mad at
Yeah,
Tommy.
I'm going to kill Tommy if it's a
Yeah.
terrible movie.
But
Yeah.
no, it was really good. Definitely recommend it. Go see it if it's still in theaters for sure.
I mean, Jude Law, that movie is fucking amazing. And it's like middle-aged cop mode.
Yeah.
You'll have to see it.
You do love to see it, and it's one of those movies where you don't really see him in too much these days, except for Watson and Sherlock Holmes. But he's a really good actor. Underrated
Yeah. Timmy,
immensely.
Ten, so you got to see The Order now that we've covered it twice on the podcast. We can get 3 weeks in a row of us talking about The Order. Someone's going to champion this movie. It's going to be us.
I bring order to this podcast. I say, no, we do not need to cover it if you've covered it twice already. There shall be order on this podcast. God damn it.
Three-time order.
I'm taking over here.
No, you're not.
But
I have a bunch of
what?
movies I
Oh, shut
saw
down quick.
lately, and one of them that I did go and see in the theaters, I went to the Interstellar 10-year anniversary IMAX release, and which is done incredibly well. I think it's like broken the record for a re-release, like in terms of box office. Like it's cleared over $20 million off of a re-release, and I went to like a Sunday 2:45 showing, and the theater was like three quarters full. Like a week after it had come out,
That's insane.
really speaks to like film on the screen and people like people can go. I think it's streaming on Paramount or Amazon or one of those. Like, if you make if you know the way theaters are going to go now is like these bigger releases, you know, bigger scaled films that just are made to be seen on a big screen, like Interstellar. It definitely
Yeah.
still has that kind of reception, and it made, you know, we covered it on the podcast a month ago, but it made me appreciate the movie even more, just rewatching it.
Did you see it in IMAX originally when it first came out?
I can't, I don't think so. Like, I was in college when it came out, so I think it was just whatever theater we had there. I don't think we had a theater that had IMAX by us
I
in
did.
Poughkeepsie, New York. So I don't think I got to see it in IMAX.
The
But
artist comes as you think, you know, it's one of those things. IMAX
well,
theaters.
I did, and it's really funny. Now that you mentioned that story, I was just talking to my buddy about it, who I saw it with back to the day, and we knew nothing about this movie going into it. Like, it's one of those movies where like we didn't watch the trailer; we just knew Christopher Nolan, Matthew McConaughey, space movie, and we're like, okay, let's not get really ripped for this and go see it with no expectations. And it, like, to this day stands as one of our favorite movies. It's
Oh
so
yeah.
fucking good because like we had no expectations at all, and we're just like, okay, this will be a fun little adventure movie, and it just got really deep. And we're just like, oh my
It
God,
got
this
really
is so
big,
deep
shit.
and really big.
I feel like it's definitely his most like emotional movie and like
Oh,
that you
easily. I
can
mean,
connect with like easily. I think like that's been a criticism of him across his films is that sometimes it's hard to
I
get
think
that emotional connection.
Interstellar. I think Interstellar is the only movie of his that has made me cry. So,
Yeah, probably. But you know,
pause.
if you want my full
Yeah.
thoughts on Interstellar,
Sorry, we don't all cry during Bane.
Tommy and I released a whole hour episode on Interstellar. If you just scroll through that feed you're on right there, and after this episode, you click play as you're driving to grandma and grandpa's or for Christmas.
Yeah, you know, screw this episode. Just go watch the Interstellar episode.
No, do it
Interstellar
after.
episode.
Do it. Do it
Oh,
after.
Steve, you finally
Well,
saw
I'm gonna be
Interstellar.
realistic. This one's probably not gonna be everyone's cup of tea. You know, it's a
Definitely watch it with your parents around, for
Oh yeah,
sure. For the
immediately.
youngins
Watch
listening.
it if a crowd, watch it if your girlfriend. You know, these are all things that you can do.
This is one of those ones that you want to play on your Bluetooth speakers with the whole family in the
Yeah.
room
You want to make
while
sure
you're at
you're blasting
Christmas.
it so your neighbors can hear everything that's happening.
Correct.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Correct.
What
And
happens when I watch Basic Instinct in my apartment?
gold star for Tommy once again.
Gold star for Tommy. Here is Eyes Wide Shut.
Eyes Wide Shut, rated R.
So, Eyes Wide Shut. I imagine if you were watching TV in 1999, you're just like watching some baseball game and you kind of just turn your head. You're not really paying attention. You have no idea this movie's coming out. And then the only thing you hear from your TV is just dun, 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 dun,
That
dun, dun, dun,
piano. Like
dun,
that's that
dun.
little piano is so nerve-wracking whenever it comes out in this movie. And
Yeah, I
every
don't
time,
know
like,
why.
Jesus.
Every time that piano note hits, I just oddly get a boner. It's weird. I don't know what's going
Pavlovian
on.
response.
That there's one or two things happen. A, I get a boner, and two, I am very tempted to sing the intro to "Welcome to the Black Parade" by
Yeah.
My Chemical Romance.
That is the same thing, I guess.
It's the same note.
That is the strangest answer I think you could have possibly had in response to those notes, but
Oh.
I
Well, we've got
appreciate
another
it.
45 minutes. You sit tight there, Timmy.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell
You don't
yeah.
know what you invited in. You're in the
No idea
Steve
what you
zone
brought.
now.
No idea what you brought in, dude.
No, no, sir. You're
So,
way over your head.
Eyes Wide Shut. This movie is big. this movie has a million theories to it. I want to narrow it in a little bit and try to just talk about the movie itself, and then we can get into, we'll splash into all the fun stuff as we kind of go along with this movie. I know we were saying before, like, we all kind of didn't go in with any expectation, not knowing much about it. What was your like initial reaction once the movie ended? Like,
So, I went to go see a screen of this last week at like Best Video and Hamden shout out. And initially, like, I was like looking at like the time, I was like, oh, like maybe this movie's gonna be over soon, but like, oh, like I was expecting them to like have like everything revealed to you in the end, like figure out who was who and like all that. And the fact that it ended right at the end of Nicole Kidman saying fuck, which is the last word in any Stanley Kubrick movie ever, know anything about it. But I was like, wait, what the fuck? Are you kidding me? Like, that's the ending. And I'm glad that we're covering it this now and not like right after I saw it, because I would have been like, terrible ending. Like, are you kidding me? Like, what the hell? But like, the more I thought about it, the more it sit with me. I was like, it's amazing that they don't reveal a single goddamn thing about what happened. And it's just up to you to determine, like, was Sydney Pollack lying or not?
Yeah, I mean, like, the thing about it is that, like, before I finished the movie, I knew how Kubrick wanted to end it, and then I'm like, I wonder how Hollywood they went with the ending. So I wasn't like really surprised with how it ended, and it definitely ended on like kind of a like gasps and awe for like anybody in the audience at the time, like, oh wow, like
It just kind of ends. Like,
ends. Yeah. Yeah.
it's not, there's no like concrete reveal. It's just like their life kind of go, like, it seems like the only resolution we get is that their relationship is still Nicole Kidman, Tom Cruise. Their relationship is still intact. He did not botch Nicole Kidman. I mean, he did in real life because he's a crazy Scientologist, Tom Cruise,
Yeah.
but not in the movie. He did not botch her. Like, that's kind of the only real resolution we get from this movie. And if you're unaware, I just want to give like a brief overview of what happens to this movie. Movie starts with Bill and his wife, Nicole Kidman, going to a fancy party hosted by Sydney Pollack. And we watch them interact with two separate people. We watch Tom Cruise flirt with two young women, and we watch an older gentleman trying to sleep with Nicole Kidman like crazy. Sydney Pollack's character, who it seems like he's a mayor or he's someone very wealthy, has Bill come up, Tom Cruise, because he's a doctor, look at this woman who overdosed on speed. Then
Wow.
Nicole Kidman goes on a 15-minute monologue about a sex fantasy she had when they were on vacation the year before, about a Marine who walked in. And then Nicole Kidman's out of the movie for the next hour, as Tom Cruise is like perplexed by this, wandering around like he almost gets a prostitute. He goes and sees his piano friend buddy, who tells him about the party because he does it blindfolded. He then goes to a costume shop and pays more money to get the cape and the mask and everything before the movie, before to get into the party.
As one does.
He also catches the guy catches his like underage daughter sleeping with two Chinese men in the back room
Yeah,
after his.
we'll get the tangents. We'll
We'll get
dive
into the
deeper. We
tangents.
don't need it whole.
Then Tom Cruise goes to the sex party. He has the password to get in, and he gets an ominous message from a masked woman saying, "You are in grave danger. You need to leave." He still wanders, meanders around the party as you would if you're in a mansion.
You gotta see everything. You gotta look around. You gotta see what you gotta take in the party going around.
Curiosity killed the cat.
Yeah.
And so he goes around, and then he gets summoned to the great hall where all these masked men confront him. And the woman before ends up sacrificing herself to make sure he gets out. And then the rest of it is Bill going around the city trying to figure out what happened to his piano friend, and finding out that the girl from the first party who overdosed died of an overdose, quote unquote. And then Sydney Pollack brings him in, basically tells him, like, I know you were there because I was there. Like, you need to leave this alone. You need to stop investigating this. We've had you tailed the entire day. Think about what we could do to your family. And then it ends with Tom Cruise crying, telling Nicole Kidman everything. We cut to them in FAO Schwartz. And then they're like, I think we're
Great
good.
store.
And then Nicole Kidman goes, you know what we gotta do? We gotta fuck. And then it cuts to black. And that's the movie.
Yeah,
It's
so
so weird.
it's so weird, but like in a way, like the more I thought about it, it's just like it's great that they leave it open to interpretation.
I guess, but a part of me is like they kind of did that out of respect to Kubrick because they just altered the movie so much. Like they're supposed to be a third person
All
narration
right,
in the original. No.
if we're gonna get into this, let's get into it because
All right.
that is a so Roger Avery was just on Joe Rogan podcast last week with Quentin Tarantino. He worked at the video store with him, and he says that this is not Kubrick's final cut of the movie, even though Warner Brothers came out and said, yeah, Stanley Kubrick came in, dropped this off and said, this is the final cut, this is the final thing. And they were like, yeah, great. And then a seemingly healthy Stanley Kubrick died 6 days later. Like, nobody knew he had any health issues. He just kind of collapsed and died. And especially when you're talking about a movie that is featuring a depiction of a famous Rothschild party. If you're not familiar with the Rothschilds, they are one, probably the wealthiest family in the world. They control a lot of their banking family from the 16th century. They control the World Economic Forum. Like, they are a very, very powerful family. And in the
And then a
70s,
lot of sexy parties.
it leaked, there are pictures that leaked of a sex party that they threw where everybody wore masks. And this was one of the basis of these movies. So it kind of makes you think, like, was somebody at Warner Brothers
Like a
involved?
member of like, hey, shit, like he got an eye on us. There's like
The
a idea too of like, did Illuminati take out
Illuminati, the
Kubrick?
Masons, whatever group that you think actually controls the world, like, said, hey, Kubrick gave us the first cut of Eyes Wide Shut. What do you want us to do about it? And then they killed him, right? Like
That's
that
what
is
they
a cons
said.
that's a conspiracy theory about it.
That's a conspiracy theory out there. I mean, I personally believe, I mean, Stanley Kubrick, like, it just happened to be he put in the final cut of the movie. He showed it to friends, cast and crew, and Warner Brothers, and then he had a heart attack 4 days later. Shit happens. He was in his 70s. I don't think it's the most outrageous thing in the world. It's weird that it lined up like that.
I wish I could agree with you. I don't know. Steve, how do you feel?
But like I also like heard that he had seen like the final cut on screen, and he was yelling at Warner Brothers exec saying like, "This is my movie. You can't do this." Blah 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 blah. And he was getting all hysterical like during what I think was the premiere. I'm not sure, or like
Well,
some
he
stupid.
died way before this premiered,
Oh,
which
okay.
leads me to believe, because, like, the official message was that Stanley Kubrick, he dropped the final cut off and then died a week later. That's like what they basically said about it. Like, they were like, this is the final cut. Now, this
Yeah.
doesn't necessarily feel like a first cut, but this feels like it feels like, in my opinion, and especially based off of what the proposed ending is supposedly, is that that Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman are forced to sell their daughter to this
To the
group,
sex cult. Yeah,
to
for
the
the
sex
money they
cult,
want.
as a punishment for their crime. That was allegedly the original
Yeah. But
ending.
like, you know, like I could definitely see both. But like, you know, I could see both
That's
things
not that
happening.
seems I mean, ultimately, like, obviously, like, what, this movie came out in like July of 1999. And Kubrick died in, I think, what, March of 1999? He could have obviously tweaked to some stuff, like, here or there. Like, we'll never know if, like, anything he will really want to change from here on out. I think that this is pretty much the final cut of what he wanted. I don't believe, like, that seems like just a conspiracy theory of, like, oh, they had to sell their child to a sex cult. That seems a little conspiracy theory.
Okay, let's like, in 1999, yes, that probably comes out believable. But we're all aware of Jeffrey Epstein, the New York financier, and his list of very wealthy people. Are we pretending that that we don't have evidence that this hasn't been going on in
Yeah.
the real world?
No,
Oh, well,
it
obviously, yeah.
absolutely does. And that's why both stories are very plausible. I think Tommy's story is definitely the most realism story, quote unquote, that could happen because there's no actual proof of any Illuminati or fucking families that kind of run everything behind the scenes. But there's also compelling evidence that there absolutely is. And there's been plenty of people throughout history that have just kind of quote unquote disappeared that tried to disrupt the natural order of things behind all of that. So, that's why I'm saying both are very plausible. I'm not gonna sit here and try and dissect it in the way that you would go and fucking try and find aliens with Tom DeLonge or anything. But I think you have to just kind of let sleeping dogs lie here and just kind of know that somewhere in the world there is the original cut of this movie. And it's just missing. And I think that it still exists somewhere, but
I think we've seen the final cut. I think this is what Kubrick wanted.
I don't think so, because his tendencies of all of his films leading up to it was like literally presenting the final cut like a week before release, or like the premiere of the movie, which makes me go like, why was this one, he was done, he was like, this is it, this is my masterpiece, this
Well,
is
it's his
the
final
final cut.
cut. It was final cut up until he died, if
Now,
that makes sense.
do you think
Like
that there's
he
an
could have
original? Well,
obviously tweaked some stuff.
of course it's the final cut before he died, because he died. But when you say final cut, that typically means like this movie's in the can, it's ready to go. Fire it up. Like, no
Yeah,
more
but then they
work needs to
changed
be done on it.
But obviously, this is, goes into what if like Kubrick lived, or you can't answer an impossible question of like if Kubrick lived, then what would change in Eyes Wide Shut? Because he probably would have tweaked a fit a little bit more. I mean,
Well, for example, he would have it, like when we say final cut, it's a marketing
they're
tool
getting the
saying,
semantics.
but well, no, it's a marketing tool. Like, what else are they going to say? Like, oh, we have like this, we have an 80% completed Kubrick movie, and we're going to drop it into theaters with two of the biggest stars of the 90s in it. Or are you going to be like, no, this was his final cut, and he just happened to die right afterwards? Like, even if we don't want to go into like, oh, he was killed or whatever, like, it could just
Yeah.
be like a marketing term of saying like, this is the final cut, like this is what we have for it, to make sure that people actually go to the movies to see it, because the movie did well too. It made like $140 million at the box office,
Which
which
is,
is.
well, let's just think about that though, like how insane that is alone. Like, can you ever imagine a movie like this like making that much money these days? We don't see movies like this like almost at all these days. And if they do, I feel like they're mostly like A24 small, like box office returns, like something like Love Lies Bleeding, which isn't even nearly as explicit as this is.
But I think his death definitely helped with the box office sales for sure. But one thing that Roger Avery was saying was that apparently on the original script, there was supposed to be a third person narration that was supposed to be talking about stuff from an outsider looking in, oddly, at least on the that podcast you were talking about. And I thought that it was interesting that they didn't include that. So I think that kind of speaks to the fact that maybe it wasn't fully 100% complete when it was turned in, but that kind of goes against the whole theory that it was, but it was tweaked,
Well,
so
apparently
to
some
speak.
stuff weren't finalized, like the score and stuff like that, so
I mean, the score is very simple. It's like a beautiful p piano sonata, pretty
Again,
much. And then
the
when the menace is there, it's the two notes.
yeah,
Like,
the two notes that
that's
we heard earlier, like again, shivers right down my spine. It just like hit me in a way.
It's like
So,
Jaws. It's like Jaws.
yeah, exactly. Let's talk more about the movie, to get more on the movie rather than the conspiracy behind the movie itself. What
Oh,
was you
but the
guys like? How
spine.
did you feel about watching the movie itself? Like, were you just like, what the fuck am I watching throughout? Or were you gripped? Is for me, it was a 3-hour movie. I was in totally like engrossed. I was just like wondering each time, like, what's happening here? What's going on? What's going on? It feels like kind of like a dream. And there's some theories out there that this movie's supposed to be like Tom Cruise falls asleep after his wife tells him all that awful stuff, and it becomes a dream.
Well,
I
I think
think
it's
there.
very clear that he has, when he's walking around New York, and it always it cuts to him seeing the soldier and the wife. It's like a fantasy in his mind. Like, of seeing that, like, it's very clear that it's bothering him. Whether it's a dream or not, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. Again, this is one of those movies where it's like, if you try to dissect a Kubrick movie, especially one where it could be debated, it's like, is it even the final product? Is like very difficult to do because the intentions are often mixed and in there. I think from like a film perspective and like a pacing effort, especially for the length of the movie, it's incredibly well paced. And it's an incredible pressure cooker because I feel like even audiences going in knew this is like, there's a weird sex part in this movie. And then like it starts with them going to a party and you're like, okay, are they like swingers? Like, is this something that
I
they're
thought,
going to,
I
like
personally thought the
thought that
movie,
too.
I thought the
Are
movie
we,
was gonna
is,
be them going to fucking sex parties, like back and forth, and
well,
like
because the
they both
first,
got enveloped into it, and like, oh my God, you're going to sex parties too much, like you gotta get out of your world. Instead, it was a movie of just like a conspiracy. Nicole Kidman doesn't get involved with the party at all, which I did not see coming. I thought she was like probably part of it or something like that. There's a part of me that was wondering at the end, like, does she know what Tom Cruise did? And that's
well,
the way that Kubrick gets you in that paranoid mindset where, like,
I
even just
thought.
like the innocent smile of like your wife gets you wondering about shit. But, like,
I thought they were gonna like he was gonna have to sell her into this and have to be an offering. Like I thought that was maybe something that would have been there. I mean, the movie literally starts out with Nicole, like we're it's between two pillars in their apartment, and we see Nicole Kidman literally taking off her dress, getting completely nude from the rear, and then it cuts to the title. Like that's how the movie opens. So you go. Is this just dropping right into the weird stuff?
Yeah, like here we go.
I mean, this movie is really about temptation, right? And like in terms of like what it's literally communicating to you, because we see temptation immediately at this party. That party sequence is what, like 20, 25 minutes, somewhere around that time frame.
I did not feel its length at all. I mean, the whole entire
Oh no,
time,
this isn't
it
about
felt
the
like, no, but it felt hypnotic. It felt like a hypnotic, like just like tone to it. The opening 25 minutes of just like the dance and like the Hungarian guy that's talking to Nicole Kidman the whole time, where you're just like enveloped in everything they're saying and like hanging off their every word, and like how Nicole Kidman's clearly just like a little tipsy and like allowing the guy to flirt with her a little more than he probably would. Tom Cruise almost has a fucking threesome of two models.
And because then you're like, is this like an
Yeah.
open marriage thing? Like I was watching
Yeah,
this with my
yeah.
girlfriend and we're like, is this an open marriage thing? Like what's going on here?
You see, that's what I was asking myself too. And it wasn't really until Nicole Kidman starts going in depth on this, like, fantasy she has with the naval officer that I'm like, okay, this is definitely not a swingers thing. They
No.
were both definitely out of pocket by both of their actions at the party. Now, my question I want to ask you both is, who do you think I would obviously the like fucking sex cult is the villain here, but if you had to pick between Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman, who's the villain here? Who's the antagonist?
There's no
There's
villain
no
or
villain of the
antagonist.
two of
I
them.
wouldn't even
I don't
say
know,
there. I
man.
wouldn't say there's an antagonist. I wouldn't even say there's an
Like,
ant. Like
I
I.
think that there was something to be said about that conversation about her telling him about how she felt about that naval officer.
She
And it
basically.
led Tom Cruise to all of these actions, talking to the prostitute, sneaking into the sex party. Now, would you fault Nicole Kidman for expressing herself? Some might say, yeah, you were kind of a little bit of a bitch for like kind of like, like fantasy cucking your husband. But at the same time, Tom Cruise went through all this shit because she had this thing and it kind of set him off the wrong way. It's like, well, now I'm going to talk to a prostitute. And then, like, he almost does it. And then nothing happens. And it goes so far as he cuts into a sex cult. And then he's like, I'm going to almost do it again. And now it almost gets his whole family killed. So it's
Well,
like,
the brilliant part of the movie is how excruciating that Nicole Kidman scene is of her like just telling Tom Cruise like over and over, like, over and over again, like, there's this guy that we saw, this like guy, and if he It
came
was
up to
a
me,
young military guy. if I knew first I could spend even one night with him, I would leave behind her whole life, leave you behind. And like just like when she's saying the most painful thing ever imagined, and then Tom Cruise, on top of being short, now has this happen going on. Well, and
Where
if you weren't aware, they were married at this time.
this is like basically Kubrick's doing psychological warfare on them between them. Where like basically like he would not let Tom Cruise know what happened with Nicole Kidman on the set of the Marine guy that she was like fucking. He had them simulate 40 different sex positions, and he told Nicole Kidman, "You can't tell Tom Cruise a single fucking thing that happened. You can't assuade him." And this is a close set. Tom Cruise is not allowed. And just to create the distrust between them.
Yikes.
And this is an excruciating shoot too. This is a shoot that like went on for like
Year and a half.
401 a year and a half, 401 days, and the Guinness Book of World Record for longest shoot ever. I think it still holds that record for like 401 days. This is like from 96 to 97. There's like one actress, the actor who played the prostitute, who like was on set. She thought it was gonna be a 2 week shoot, ended up being a 2 month shoot. This is how Kubrick operates, where Tom Cruise has to fucking walk through a door 97 times over and over and over again. Like, can you imagine being on that set? It'd be
I
awful.
mean, he's so meticulous about it, but
Yeah.
I think especially now we think of like later stage Cruise, especially just he's just kind of action guy now, and he's great at that. But you really do see like the dramatic chops because
This was
the
like,
devastation on his face as Nicole Kidman is telling him the story, because Tom, like, it's Nicole Kidman monologuing for 15 minutes. Like that's it. She's smoking a joint, he's in a t-shirt. And
I think you're too high.
it just cuts to it pretty much just cuts to Tom Cruise, and it's just like the look of the life like leaving his face, like leaving his
The
eyes.
acting in general, like how I just love like the Nicole Kidman cadence where she says little
It's
things
so
like.
slow, it's
It's
so
so slow,
methodical.
so methodical, so like thought out, and like the little like fucking crazy things where like there's definitely some takes that were like this is probably take like 67, and like Nicole Kidman was losing her mind, and that's probably where she said, "And did you think about her itty bitty little titties?" And just like the little line reading of that where it's just like, what the fuck?
By the way, that's probably the worst weed in the world. Like, I don't know anybody on pot that's like, I'm gonna tell my boyfriend absolutely the worst thing that he wants to hear right now. Like, that's gotta be
My
bad.
husband.
Yeah, bad portrayal of marijuana, just so that we're aware here, just so that we're clear. Great portrayal of sex cults, I suppose, but
So then one thing I forgot, because I genuinely forgot it, is like, so then Bill gets a call like in the middle of this, like at the end of the monologue, from a patient of his who passed away. This guy Bill, they clearly had a close relationship. He goes over, and the daughter of this old guy like is engaged to another guy, but she like tries to seduce Bill, Tom Cruise.
More like throws herself onto him,
Yeah, like, I
more
love
than
you, I love you.
seduce. It was definitely more of like, I love you, like,
It
just
was
throwing
definitely,
yourself
it was
down.
like the grief trauma thing where you just latch onto the closest person to you.
It was definitely like a grief dump. Like they mentioned, she was moving to Michigan with her soon to be husband, and she's,
Greg from Dharma and Greg.
and she lives in on she's a wealthy person on the Upper West Side, so she's not thrilled about the prospect of moving to Ann Arbor, Michigan, which
They're all very wealthy people.
This is one of those things about how crazy it was, like how long the shoot was, where originally in this role was Jennifer Jason Leigh, but then she had to shoot Existence because when they did reshoots, she probably thought shot this like 96 and then 98. Kubrick's like, "Hey, can you come back?" She's like, "No, I'm moved on to other projects. Like, fuck off of your reshoots. You're out of the movie then." Harvey Keitel was supposed to be the Sidney Pollack role also, which
Really? I loved Sidney Pollack in this.
Sidney
Like,
Pollack was amazing, and I can't imagine the Harvey Keitel. It wouldn't be as good because Harvey Keitel is such a scumbag. Immediately, be like, yeah, he probably goes to fucking sex orgies.
but I mean, Sidney did such a good job, but like, it would totally change the tone if it were Harvey Keitel,
Was
I
Harvey
think.
Keitel immediately from day one. You're like, yeah, this guy's probably wearing a mask. He's getting up in the nosh.
Well, so
I think
Sidney.
if Harvey Keitel approached me wearing a mask, I'd still know that it's Harvey Keitel.
Yeah, exactly that too. Wait,
Sid,
also, well, then the Sidney Pollack's fucking hairy ass chest in this movie.
I mean, Sidney Pollack performance was excellent because you saw like him put on the face of like an ultra wealthy person communicating to people, and then you saw the mask off too,
Mask on,
metaphorically
fucking mask off.
and literally, and you like just like like the confrontation scene in the pool room, it's so blunt. It's not like some menacing antagonist dialogue, right? It's just blunt, and it's almost like a plea of being like, listen, there is nothing I can do to help you. If you keep looking into this, they will harm you, your wife, and your child. Like you need to drop this. That you were not supposed to be there. And I mean, this movie is like the theme of this movie is temptation and what temptation can bring to you, right? Like,
And jealousy. I mean, Tom Cruise throughout this movie, this is why I think he's perfectly cast, is just like he's like high status, but he's not high status enough that he gets something like this. He hates being told no. He's a guy who probably has never been told no. He tries to get into the room, and it just bugs him that he can't get into this upper echelon of society. Like Sydney Pollack is definitely like on a different tier of wealth than Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman are.
Oh yeah,
And
certainly.
that gets to him, definitely, without a
But
doubt.
like I don't think it's jealousy as much as temptation, right? Because that whole monologue
Combination, yeah.
from Nicole Kidman is about temptation.
Yeah.
And then we watch
And
Bill wander the West Village of New York,
which, by
and
the way, we all live in New York City. Hence the vibes of just walking through, like Tom Cruise. It was such a cool little vibe of him just walking through
oh,
the
it's
streets of,
great.
yeah,
Oh,
amazing.
dude,
It
I loved it.
captured that vibe of like, I was like, fuck, I want to go to walk in New York City right now. Even though this is a London soundstage, apparently. Really?
All the
Yeah.
interiors were
That'd
London
be fun.
soundstage, and then all the exteriors of New York City were like actually New York City.
Well, no. A lot of it was filmed on a soundstage, just like the actual New York City in New York City parts.
Oh,
Because
was it?
Kubrick didn't want to fly to he was afraid of flying, so he didn't want to go to London. I mean, he didn't want to go to New York City, so he shot in London. And you kind of see it a little bit, where it's closed
Yeah,
off a little
they
bit,
did a
but
good
still,
job.
it
Yeah,
feels
they
like the
had me
vibe.
fooled.
That whole portion of the movie, like, there's basically like three different, like, four different portions of the movie, and the whole portion where you just walk around New York City just reminds me of so many like aimless nights or aimless days, even just walking through the city. It reminds me of like, have you guys ever seen this Scorsese movie After Hours?
I didn't. I it's on my watch
Surprisingly,
list. No.
We'll cover it, but basically, it's a movie of a guy who is on an endless night in New York City where he keeps on wanting to get home, but he can't get home for a variety of reasons, and it just captures that vibe of like when you're in New York City and you're like, I don't know
Sounds
where
like
to
an
go. I'm just
absolute nightmare.
gonna walk a few blocks, see where life takes me.
Yeah, but it's like temptation is he's on the street, and then the prostitute Domino literally just kind of comes up from behind him, and it's been
Right.
established in the movie that Tom Cruise is very handsome, because like I mean he's a handsome guy. It's like,
Cause,
but
yeah.
it's directly communicated to the audience. So I'm like, is this woman just hitting on him? Like she's kind of dressed like she might be a lady of the evening,
I
but
knew right
no,
away she was a prostitute.
I
I
mean
don't know about
I figured, but you know, I was like,
Yeah,
I didn't know where it was
I
going. They just walk into her apartment, and then he's like, how much? They barter and they sit down on the bed.
As soon as I
And
saw her stockings, I'm like, this is a lady of the night. What time is it? Oh, yeah. Enough time to
then for like
69.
one in the morning when he's doing this. and then
Yeah.
they but like interspersed is were cut of visions of Bill, like just close-ups of Tom Cruise's face, and then him cutting to the fantasy that he has in his mind of Nicole Kidman and the soldier. So then he's like, well, fuck it, I'll go with a prostitute, because he's just like he's more tempted than he is jealous. Like there's not really anger conveyed by him. It's like if you're having this,
Yeah,
like what do
I might
I
as well. I have
why
an affair.
like I might as well
No, that's a
I
good point, Tim. I like that you
because
brought that up because at no point does Tom Cruise ever blow up on Nicole Kidman for saying all these like raunchy things and like offending him or anything like that. But he kind of just chases his temptation in a weird way, which begs the question, if Nicole Kidman had not called his cell phone when he was with Domino, would he have went through with it?
I don't think so. I think it was like you saw the like we saw them kiss, and that's pretty much it. And it was like the camera was so uncomfortably close,
Yeah.
and it was such an awkward kiss. It was so like
She was,
she
yeah.
was getting into it, and he was so like reserved.
Yeah, like, what
So
am I
when the
doing?
cell
Kind of.
phone came, she recognized me like, oh, that's Mrs. Bill, and he was like, yeah, and he's like, I gotta go, like.
Right.
He knew, like he wasn't ready to partake into this. But then he goes
And
and
yeah. It's almost like, you know, the same deal as like, you know, the cult. Like, you know, he doesn't like to be told no, and he wants to like get in just so that he know that knows that he can. And it's the same deal with the prostitute. He wanted to know that if it were to come that if he wanted to, he could just have sex with anyone, you know, if he wanted to,
But
you know, just
it's
almost
still,
to appease his ego, you
and
know.
it's
Well,
it, I think that's where Tom Cruise comes in, where like apparently like some earlier casting choices was like Harrison Ford, and Harrison Ford would have been like, you couldn't
get
believe
off
him.
my
You
wife.
need a believable cuck, and I think Tom Cruise is a believable cuck, to put it in the most simple terms I could think of.
Well, I don't even agree with that. I think it's like
Oh,
it's not like
well.
it's not like he's sitting
He's
in a
also a good
hotel.
enough actor that's serious, because like they apparently Kubrick's original idea was like doing like a comedy with like Steve Martin as a lead, or Woody Allen, which would have been just like god awful, just like a nebbish guy. Well,
The Woody Allen one would
other than the
not have
Woody Allen
a
thing, but yeah.
That would not have aged well, for sure.
But like he also considered like Tom Hanks, Bill Murray, Hoffman, Beatty, Albert Brooks, and Alan Alda, and all this stuff. So just like all these things. But I think that when we landed on Tom Cruise, especially the fact that it's a married couple, just brings a little more attention to
Oh
it.
yeah, I think it was like for him, it was like getting the package deal, right? For Kubrick, it was
Because
like
he wanted like Kim Basinger and Alec Baldwin at one point, which would have been a way worse version of this.
yeah,
Oh my God.
That's
Yeah.
the Hallmark version of Eyes Wide Shut is Alec
Yeah.
Baldwin and Kim Basinger. But then he goes to the piano bar and he's just talking to his friend,
Todd Field, director of Tar.
director of Tar, Todd Field. Great little performance from him, where he just starts saying like, yeah, you know, I'm actually going to a party after this where I, you know, play the piano blindfolded, but last time they didn't blindfold me so well. And he just says, oh, the woman, my God. And he's like,
That's
Todd.
all. It's like, say less of
He's
that.
like, say less, like, how do I get in? Like, he sees him take the phone call, and then he's just tempted. He's like, no, you can't even go. Like, you have to, you know, you need a cape, you need a mask, you need all of this. And he's like, say less. And he's like, I have a guy who I was a doctor for 3 years ago that owns a costume shop. So yeah, let's go bother him at 1 o'clock in the morning. He
Yeah,
bothers,
that's
and
what
it's like
does.
the business was sold to this random Russian guy, and he goes down there, you know, paying like $200 over what the rental cost would be for the
Well, it's a status thing
inconvenience.
for him. He throughout the movie, he keeps on doing that, where he's just like, "How much is this?
He's
All right, like
throwing money around.
I'll do $200." Or like, who tears a $100 bill in half and be like, "Here, you keep the hammer." It's a power play. He wants to have the power, and then once he's in the party, he doesn't have power anymore.
Well, yeah, it's certainly an ego play. It's certainly, but it's like this temptation of what could be on that other side, right? And then like he walks, they getting the costume. The guy catches like his, I think, 16-year-old daughter
Yeah.
with like two
Huh?
Asian
Do they talk
guys.
about his age
Her age, I
or
think
her
it's
age? Yeah.
it's meant. I feel like it's implied because it's like.
Listen, like she's obviously underage just by looking at her, but the
But then
two Asian
she,
cross dressers, though. Oh man,
but then she,
that scene had me hysterical
it
laughter.
was it was hilarious because it's so random too. It's like,
But then
one of those things
she,
like, what am I getting into?
talk about getting caught with your panties down, huh?
she goes up behind him and like puts her hand on her shoulders and just like kind of like, like trying to tempt him, right? And then
Yeah,
he,
and hides behind him too.
yeah,
Like, you know, like there's definitely like something there, like, ooh, maybe this guy is next. Like, who knows?
But when he gets back, like, and he goes to return the costume, like the daughter is there. We watch the two guys walk out, and he just said, the owner just goes, yeah, we actually worked out an arrangement here. And he's like, you know, thank you for, you know, returning this. Thank you for your business. You know, we also offer other services. And like it just kind of like freezes with like him and his daughter, like for a longer time than it needed to, like communicating to us, like he's like kind of selling his daughter to Tom Cruise in that moment. Like again, it's
They
this
definitely imply it.
that's
Well,
what kind of I got gathered out of it.
and
But it's
part of me is also just like the paranoia of that whole like last act of where I'm thinking like, do they know what happened, or like were they is this all set up
so,
or something like
but
that?
because it was Tom Cruise go like the second act into the third act of this movie is Tom Cruise going around trying to figure out what like anybody that was involved with him last night. Are they okay? Because he goes back to the prostitute's house and her roommate's there, and she's like, yeah, so Domino actually got tested this morning, and she has HIV. And it's one of those things where you go, no, but you go, okay, did, like, were these people involved in this? Did they know? Did they know? Because they had been tailing him. Like, he goes to the hotel that Bill, the piano player, is paying out. He was rushed out and he's like talking to the hotel guest. And I felt like it was subtly implied that the clerk was gay, because it felt like he was flirting with him a little bit. I don't
Oh
know if you
yeah, Alan
guys,
Cumming.
yeah, I don't know if you guys felt that way too, but it definitely came off that way.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, Alan Cumming in general has that vibe.
I mean, he even he goes back to the mansion during the day and gets handed a note, and basically saying like, "This is your second and final warning. Please,
Please fuck off.
you cannot be looking into this." And then it
Yeah, like
leads,
stop.
and then it leads into that Sydney Pollack like reveal of that he was there. Like, for me, I thought, like, there's the moment during like the ritual scene, like this very the very beginning at the party where it's just the man in the red, almost imitating like a satanic pope, with the women around him in masks that are nude. And then up at the top is a guy with like a Revolutionary War hat and the hook nose mask, and just looks over and like nods at him. I'm like, that had to have been Sydney Pollack's character. Like,
Well,
I'm
yeah,
assuming that's him. And then
that's where I'm
I'm
wondering all the time. We're like Sydney Pollack's looking around, and like, I can't wait to rewatch this movie because there's so many things I'm probably gonna try and catch up on. Because like, I can imagine there's probably even more scenes of like people like in the background, like You
looking
guys
out
are
for
like
him.
way
Oh,
more
I mean,
into it than I am.
I think the guy, the Hungarian guy from the beginning that tries to seduce Alice, his wife, I
He's
think
definitely in
that
the party.
I
He's
think well, I think he's the guy in the
definitely
red.
wearing the mask.
I think, yeah, I think he's the guy. Well, they're all wearing masks, Tommy. I think he's the guy in the red, personally.
Oh no, I don't think that, because I think it's a very different voice right there. I
Well,
mean, also it could be a show.
it is a show.
Like there is like a way that you can cheat and find out if you look up like the credits, because the same actor would be credited for No,
different.
no, 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 no. But they could easily just like say like, oh, like he played him as this or whatever. But I definitely think that guy was in the party, and it makes you wonder of like, who is Tom Cruise interacting with that knows about this, what's going on? Because like, the fact that like, it just seems almost so convenient that all this is happening to him. But like, that's when you're Tom Cruise, you're top of the world or anything like that, and like, you're like, oh yeah, I can get it with anyone. Yeah, but like, Prostitutes walk up to me. This is just life. but how do you think that the girl who, once he's in like the like sex cult like mansion or whatever, the girl that he's walking with immediately knew you shouldn't be here? Like, how do you think she knew that without even seeing him or
His
anything
fucking
like
clothes. He's fucking rich as fuck. Like,
that? I
you get clues
suppose,
about. well,
But
I think it was. Are you talking? You're talking about at the first party or at the big party?
no, the big party with the masks and all
Like,
that
and
shit. Oh, the big party.
how she
Okay,
knows
yeah. Yeah, I thought you were talking about
that
Domino.
it's him. I mean, Sydney Pollack's
That just
character
that he shouldn't be there, you know, not even
Victor,
that it's
like,
him.
kind of says like the main giveaway was that like everybody showed up here in a limo. And you just kind of rolled up here late in a taxi cab. Like, it was kind of obvious this person did not belong.
Yeah.
And they found like one of his business cards, they found the receipt for the costumes in his jacket, because they went through the jacket of the person that just came in. They were able to identify it.
The fact he wasn't a mask too, like that's how he just think like, hey, I can just show up to this random party without like who needs a mask?
Without it raising any alarm bells. And that, and I, you know, I think this, that like that sequence, like that's like they communicated that information very, very quickly. You know, it does make you think though. Like, I kind of want to dive back into the conspiracy theories, because there's one, because I went to a website of just like, what's the, you know, just give me some conspiracy theories, like what's going on.
Timmy
So
is getting exposed to the internet, all the bad
so
experiences about the
why is it called Eyes Wide Shut? The reason the film is called Eyes Wide Shut, at least according to some researchers, so you know I'm really dealing with like truly analytical people here, where they're called researchers for whatever reason, is a blatant reference to Hollywood and the number of people who allegedly know this kind of activity is taking place, yet do not say anything about it. and like the conspiracies of the alleged Illuminati, such talk has been rife in Hollywood for years. While some people have spoken out, they're usually left as lone wolves with no one willing to corroborate their accounts.
Interesting.
Makes you think about Diddy, right? Like that's going on. Like we know
Yeah.
that's going on with these like weird sex parties. Like it's one of these things where this movie is almost like a forewarning, and then it leads into the conspiracy theory I was talking about. Was like, did Kubrick actually just die of natural causes, or
Oh yeah, what do we have?
well,
Was
they
he
were.
trying to spoil the party, says?
Well, they were saying on the, because I listened to the Tarantino Roger Avery podcast, and they were talking about like, how could you kill somebody without it being detected? And they were like, if you injected somebody with like just coffee directly into their bloodstream, they will die of a heart attack, and then it'll just
Yeah.
come out that there was a shit ton of coffee in their bloodstream, like no poison, nothing that can make it like super suspicious or set any
That's
red
how they
flag
opened the
off.
podcast, actually. It was Spotify.
Yeah, like
Oh, yeah.
that's how they opened it. That's how they were talking about it. So I think like I'm trying to just think of like where to take this conversation, because we kind of like I guess let's focus on the ending here,
Well,
right?
so at the end of the movie, we have Sidney Pollack like tell Tom Cruise everything about the movie, where he says like, okay, so Nick, he's back home with Mrs. Nick and having fun with Mrs. Nick. I love how he just says that, Mrs. Nick and everything. But then he says that, he says like, oh, like the girl, she died of her own causes. I had someone follow you just to make sure, like, this isn't anything like crazy or terrible. Like, you're gonna be fine. So the real question is for all of you guys, I want to know, do you think Sidney Pollack is telling the truth, or do you think he's lying out his fucking
He's
ass?
lying out of his ass.
Yeah, like
You gotta be lying, 100%.
what do we think happened to Nick? I think Nick's dead.
Oh,
Like,
Nick's
on.
dead. They definitely, if these girls overdose, because they're definitely like they're using these drugs to control these women that are at these parties, right? And then that way it could just be like, oh, they quote unquote overdosed. There you go.
That was kind of like a preamble, like at the first party. Where the girl almost overdosed, where Sidney Pollack brought Tom Cruise upstairs to save her. So there's that reoccurring theme that there's definitely like substances going around here. But also, they know enough about Nick, this Nick character, that they could have totally traced everything back to him.
Oh,
He's the
I'm
only other
so.
person that Tom Cruise knew at the original party. And they're like, this guy clearly knows how to get into the big sex party. And Tom Cruise was never an issue until these two intertwined with each other. So I think they just kind of put two and two
Well,
together and just
yeah,
terrified.
like, it's fucking Nick.
I kind of figured he was a drug dealer, because it was, if you notice in the party scene, when Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman split up and kind of do their own thing, we see Bill and Tom have this like an initial catch up, and then a security officer comes over, taps Bill on the shoulder, and says, "Excuse me, we need to speak with you for a minute over here." He goes. Now, then we see that same guy, extra, the bodyguard, come up, tap Tom Cruise on the shoulder, and go, "Excuse me, Victor needs to see you." And then he goes upstairs and sees the girl overdosed on the floor. So I felt like, he was supporting himself through distributing drugs, and that's how he ended up getting connected into this world. And they found out he was a piano player, and then they're like, oh, he's a drug dealer, like he's keeping secrets, like he's cool, like he's in our shady part of the world here, but let's just blindfold him, like we don't want him actually seeing this shit. But then
He's
like
not worthy of the mask.
you know
And then
how
you
hard it is to get a piano player who plays blindfolded these days?
nobody cared who I was before I put on the mask.
But I it's like, well, it's so funny too, because he's playing piano, but they're like chanting and doing these like rituals, like he doesn't know what's going on. Like, well, he's
Yeah,
blindfolded, so it's cool. It's cool, man, guys. He's blindfolded. It's like, you guys are some of the wealthiest people. Just one of you get a piano teacher. Like, just get a piano teacher. Learn how to do this.
yeah, exactly. One of you guys could easily do this. Like, hey, it's Bill's turn to run the piano. Sorry, Bill, you can't be. Oh, wait, we can't say each other's names. Mask number five.
You're the piano
Awesome.
player, but
Also, when
there are
we get
so
to the
many
party, we
desires.
get to the party scene real quick. How do people have oral sex with the mask on? That feels like just like a whole contraption right there when you see
Well,
that
some of the
movie.
masks didn't
That
have
doesn't seem
masks.
practical. That does not seem practical.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna concern myself on that, because like it's very interesting for a movie with
I
such a reputation
am.
about
Steve and I just have a tangent for fucking 10 minutes about like what do we think
Well,
like the
yeah,
exact application would be.
my mother listens to this. I'm putting my foot down on that one.
This is NSFM, not safe for mothers.
Can I just say, when you're having a sex party, the cult music does not put you in the mood. And I'm saying this in the most PG way possible for Mrs. Sestito. Like, who decided on the party music, man?
Because
That's
it's not a part, it's not, that's not the idea of the party. Like, there's implications that these women are being mind controlled. I would assume that they're controlling these women by feeding them drugs is kind of
I suppose.
my interpretation of it, is that they were feeding these women drugs, and like it's a
Yeah.
control thing, but it's a ritual. Like, it's very clearly some kind of cult that the ultra wealthy are a part of,
Yeah.
and like it's very clearly communicated to us through that like this is what's going on here
I get
at
that.
that
This
party.
doesn't
So
sound very
it's not
sexy.
it's not supposed to
I'm
be
with you.
Barry,
It's
it's not supposed to be Barry
not.
White, it's not supposed to be Marvin Gaye, it's
Can
not it's
you
they're not
imagine?
trying to they're
Tom
not trying
Cruise
to
walks
set
into the
that kind of
party and just
mood.
like, let's get it on. And
You're
everyone just in the fucking back of the
not hearing any
mascot.
Al Green at these parties.
No, they're not setting that kind of mood. It's about power and control, and it's about like we fuck the world. Look at what we do when we actually get together, right, guys? That's the what it felt like communicated to me through the film, through just Tom Cruise like walking through this party. It was very I
Love
feel
how
like the
immediately
weird
though, I love how immediately though they're like, yeah, like you don't belong.
maybe that was what separated these parties from ditty parties. You know, it's like
And so
same
another,
concept, but let's bring boys to men in
yeah.
here.
But another question though. Do you think that like Tom Cruise, if like the girl said like, you know, I volunteers tribute or the fuck she said, her Hunger Games us thing, do you think Tom Cruise would have been like killed that night?
Yeah,
I think
I
he
would
would have
say
been. I
so.
think he would have been humiliated. I don't know if he would have been killed.
Yeah. Killed seems
I
a little intense.
think it. I think it's possible they gave him enough warnings.
Well, this is the first night. This is the first night, like the night he walks into the fucking sex party.
When they make him take off the mask and everybody there can clear as day see his face, like he's the only one exposed. He's very vulnerable in this situation.
Well, yeah, but then there's also like the a million warnings that the girl gave that like you need to leave right fucking now or they're gonna actually fucking kill
Like, dude, you are so obviously not a part of this party. What are you doing here?
It's so
Just
odd too because
doesn't even know
he's
here.
dressed just it's it, maybe it's just because he rented a tux like a poor person and they were just like that's a poor person tux like that's a poor person tux
You're
like
not this rich. It's
you
the
should have
ultimate
had the
social.
it was also the tux receipt that was in the jacket that they were like rented at 12:45 a.m. tonight.
Sounds like
Okay.
an impulse decision.
It's the ultimate social anxiety movie where like immediately people are like, why are you doing at this party? You're not invited.
Yeah, it's certainly that. But now I think we gotta talk about, you know, we've hinted at the performances, but I think it's time we discuss the performances.
Am a star. I'm a star, I'm a star, I'm a star. I am a big, bright, shining star.
So who gave the best performance? Like who like Tom Cruise dominates the screen
Yeah.
here,
I gotta
for
give it to
sure.
Nicole Kidman personally. I
I think
completely
Nicole
agree.
Kidman's amazing and just captivating. And like I was disappointed to find she was not in the movie like throughout it. I
Yeah,
thought
but
it,
that speaks to how impactful she was. The time that she was on
exactly.
screen, she fucking absolutely crushed it.
I mean
Killed it.
her the speech of her giving the joint is so powerful and literally ignites the whole movie. It literally puts all of the actions into motion of what's actually going on here. Like that needs to be so damn brutal, but in like this gentle, it's like gently beautiful or brutal. It's not like a punch, but it's just like slowly pushing somebody off the
It's a
edge of a
very
cliff.
slow gut punch, but it's
Yeah,
just
yeah.
gut punch. Like, you know, it's like
And
watching a boxing match that goes to 12 rounds and then just, oh my God.
I mean, I think
Immediately
Cruise is
after.
great in this too, especially for, you know, someone that our generation probably doesn't associate with dramatic roles because like
Because after this, like this is the
he
last movie he didn't have control on, essentially, where like after this he was like a producer on everything or like helped out in the production.
Okay,
Because
well,
like who
we didn't talk about this, but how much do you think the Church of Scientology freaked the fuck out when they actually caught a glimpse of this one?
apparently this is like a period of like Cruz's life where he wasn't like
Oh,
crazy into Scientology. He's still in the church,
I mean
but
the
like
conspiracy theory is that the church orchestrated the divorce of Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman because David Miscavige was very upset that he lost his best buddy Tom Cruise. And
well, yeah, and
Nicole
then
Kidman's parents are like psychologists, like they're not like they would never get involved in something like Scientology, and they did this. Hey, person working for Scientology, that so I'm gonna tag Scientology when I post this podcast up.
of
You're
course.
listening to this. You're in a cult. Please leave. I just want that warning put out there because I'm gonna put Tom Cruise in Scientology, and then you're going to have to listen to it because you need to make sure that you know everything that is possibly said about this church. You are making 7 cents an hour. Nobody has made that since 1692. Please make sure you go and get a real job and get yourself out of this cult. Okay. Anyway, but I thought Cruise was phenomenal too, but I think the weight of the movie is on Nicole Kidman, like just that gut punch, like.
Again, none of the actions that happened after that speech would have happened if, like, he didn't, if she didn't trigger him. You know, I feel
She
like
has
he'd.
to hit like the exact like bullet point, like the exact like fucking like
Yeah.
straight to the heart where you have those conversations sometimes where it's like, oh my fucking God, like I just need to go out and do something. I need to be destructive.
Yeah.
Also, when Cruise breaks down after Sydney Pollack's house and starts crying, that's like the 1% of the movie where you just go, ooh, okay. You know, Kubrick made him do 200 fucking takes of that. And like, he was just like, all right, he was just like, all right, we're literally out of film here, guys. Like, I guess this is the best one because
Bruce is
that
like,
was just.
I can't cry anymore. I ran out of tear ducts. He's like, just fucking put some more eye
I
drops
was
in your
also the
fucking eye.
weakest part of the performance here while Nicole Kidman is like looking at him just utterly disgusted.
Fucking, I think
Well,
what they
you
ended
can
up
believe
doing
that this
was.
probably helped to them like fucking like their marriage like fucking disbanding. But like apparently Kubrick played like fucking marriage therapist for them and like was like, all right, like so like tell me all your insecurities and fears and like, all right, cool. Good to know. That's fun in the
Man, that's fucked that you'd open yourself up like that. Kubrick probably like locked Cruise in a room right before that scene and just showed the uncut version of the naval officer just banging Nicole Kidman, just like on a continue. All right, like I think I'm right to the scene. No, watch it again. And it's
You
just
are gonna watch it, you're gonna like it.
and then that's how they mustered up the
Well, it's so funny too, because there was talk on so the Actor on Actor series is coming out, and what's her name? Miley Madsen, who was in Anora,
Yeah, Mikey. Yeah.
basically talked about how like they didn't have an intimacy coordinator on set for this one. Like she agreed, and people on Twitter were being like, oh, that's unacceptable. And it's like, well, you weren't involved in the production, so like I
Damn.
like
Yeah.
your
I
consent
just
is
want to
not.
become an intimacy.
It's a
So,
ma it's a
you
made up
know.
job. It's a made up job. But
Oh,
it's a
okay.
but like I'm like, yeah, you think Nicole Kidman had an intimacy coordinator on set with Kubrick? Imagine Stanley Kubrick dealing with
Well,
an
okay.
intimacy coordinator.
Well,
New.
he didn't have that, but apparently, at the time, Nicole Kidman said that Stanley gave her a final approval on all her nude scenes. So she said she went to work with Stanley. He was like, "All right, I want to go full frontal nudity," and she was like, "Nicole was like, I don't know." So they came up with an agreement, which was it was contractual. Said he would show me the scenes of nudity before they made it into the film. Then she would feel completely safe, and she said no, he would fucking delete it, and he would
Well,
not fucking think about it.
I agree with that. Like, I think if anybody who, especially anybody doing that, should have that right.
But yeah,
Whether
exactly. But yeah, it's a little different. But yeah,
the
there was
intimacy
that at least.
coordinator is like somebody there being like, okay, so just want to make sure you're comfortable with this scene. What do you need from me to make sure you feel comfortable about this? And then it's just probably like the question's like, what do I do if this guy gets a boner? And and then she's just like. That's a great question. I mean, sometimes it can't be involved. I would say if it really starts to make you uncomfortable, we call for cut and then we reset and maybe we tape it down and then we're good to go.
Don't they just put like a cloth over it or something?
Oh well, they put the I don't know. I don't know that. But
Now's your time to shine. What do you know? What do they do?
all right, let's see. Now it's time for the question that every listener
Oh,
has
also
had this
Sydney
in.
Pollack, by the way.
I
Great
think he was
performance. Great
great
performance.
performance. I think that like his
Yes.
pool scene was fantastic. I think he might have been one of my favorite parts of this movie, where like I get sort of he's talking about like Mrs. Nick and everything like that, where like you could almost believe for a second that he's like maybe telling the truth, but like at the same time
You know
it's
he's
like
not, you know he's not telling the truth. That's the menace, is like, you know this guy is lying straight through his teeth. That's the menace, because it's not in his performance. It's in the blunt way that he delivers it. Now it's time for the moment everybody on this podcast has been waiting for.
Are you ready, comedy partner? Waka waka.
All right, I'm gonna replay the teaser trailer of this, because I won't, I everybody's thinking, no, there's no possible way, but I just want you to
Speak for yourselves.
picture this in your mind of, it's this piano playing here. Then it flashes the word Kermit. Then it flashes the word Piggy. Then it flashes the word Henson. In his final film, Eyes Wide Shut. Are you telling me you're not hyped? Are you telling me you're not hyped as hell for this movie? Are you telling me that we're
It'd
not?
be amazing. It would be amazing. I mean, like obviously when like everyone that's like a puppet, instead of wearing masks, they just have hands.
I was
It's
behind this as a Muppet adaptation the entire time. You didn't need to sell me on it at all.
yeah.
100% would be a fantastic Muppet adaptation.
What
Come
if
on,
instead what
writing
if what if
anything
instead
with
well,
puppets,
I
Muppets,
do I do want to
hysterical.
mention the fucking image I just sent in the group chat right there of just like how Kermit's like Tom Cruise and Beaker is the head priest wherever.
Yeah, I mean, an adaptation that will never happen, should probably not happen, but I think it's very, very funny in a hypothetical situation. All right, fellas, review time. Tommy, why don't you kick us off? Give me your score out of five.
So I watched this movie a week ago. When I first walked out of the screen, I went to, I mean, I was like, that was the fucking ending. Are you kidding me? Which we didn't really touch upon the ending, how just blunt it was, just all of a sudden.
Oh, that's the thing. There's not too much to talk about, because it's just a very blunt ending.
Then I thought about it more. I like read some stuff about it and like, let the movie sit with me a little bit. And I think this might be one of the best Stanley Kubrick movies, ever. So, I'm gonna go 5 out of 5. I just loved it. The whole performances between Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman was so just like in a dreamlike state, just kept me gripped. This is a 3 hour movie, and like I did not feel its length like whatsoever. And like, at one point during the screening, I was at like, the 4K player that was like showing the time, and like the time when Tom Cruise left the party was 1 hour and 30 minutes in. I was like, holy shit, that felt like it just went by like that. And I was just engrossed in this movie. So 5 out of 5.
Wow.
There, Steve, what about you?
Five that I've never heard of. Five that I'm fucking floored. 3 out of 5 for me.
Ooh.
Weird movie, really weird movie, and that's coming from a guy like me. Really makes you think, which I liked. I thought like it was an original plot, which was great. It was just out of luck. I definitely enjoyed it. I don't know if I'd watch it again anytime soon. But just for the runtime's sake, and I just kind of like, all right, I kind of get the point, whatever. But yeah, I thought it was good. Cinematography was excellent, acting was excellent. It was a very weird movie. And watch it with your mom and dad.
They'll definitely love it. I'm gonna give it a 4 out of 5. I don't think this is amongst his best. I think it's a great movie. For most directors, this would be their best movie they ever made. I think for me, my takeaway from this is that I felt Stanley Kubrick was trying to expose something in here. I feel like that was kind of communicated, and we went through all the conspiracy theories of it, which is like just as interesting, if not more interesting, than the film itself. But wonderfully performed, excellent paced movie that very compelling, and makes you think about temptation and what it actually does to someone. So for me, 4 out of 5, good movie. Based on this conversation, you're gonna know whether or not you would like this kind of movie.
Yes.
But all right, fellas, great, excellent.
excellent episode here. Upstairs Thieves, thanks for coming on here for our final episode of the season. We appreciate you coming
Whoa,
on
this is the final episode?
of the season, not of the show, just of 20 for 2024.
Wow, I didn't even
Yeah.
know you guys did seasons.
Well,
Is a season 1 year or like what?
yeah, pretty much.
Oh, okay. Well, fuck. Regardless, it's an honor to be on the last episode to wrap it all up with you guys. Follow me on the gram, big underscore mooch 821. And if you want the uncut, uncensored, raw, unadulterated Steve Mucciolo, you can follow me on the Snapchat, SMUCC6. And other than that, always love being on the podcast, guys. Appreciate you having me on this one. And
Anytime.
I'll stay away from rich people's sex parties in the future.
It's a good lesson to take away from this. Tommy,
Yes.
any final thoughts before we wrap up this episode?
Well, again, masks sometimes are not practical. So, but anyways, thank you guys so much for listening. You can follow us on social media. That's at CNetPod. That's on Twitter, Instagram, Twitter. Which you said before, TikTok and occasionally Threads. We're also on Blue Sky. That's PodCNet, bluesky.social. And leave us a 5-star review. Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast helps us out, helps us grow the show. And yeah, we're taking a little break for the new year. I think it's about time. Should we come back with Point Break? Kick off the year?
We'll discuss, but that seems like a good way to
We
get us
still have to
back.
do fucking True Romance,
Oh yeah,
guys.
that's coming up early. We'll communicate and get that all set up. We're gonna communicate and come up with some great ideas for episodes coming up next year. Thank you all so much for listening. We appreciate it very much. We wish you and your family, your friends, Merry Christmas, happy
And a
holiday.
very happy and sexy new year.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We'll see you next year.